Let's look over in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're over in Psalms 43, verse 4. Thank God for TikTok. Amen. I say thank God for TikTok. TikTok is sending people to church. Amen. Download TikTok and follow us at Faith Church NY. Amen. Praise God. All right. Psalm 43, verse 4. Listen, every medium we will use to preach the gospel. Amen. Every medium possible. Amen. So when you got your WhatsApp status, use it to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. I say you have a tool. Use your phone and tell somebody of the goodness of God. Amen. Can somebody do that this week? Say, I'll tell somebody. You know, when I look at these kids, the children's ministry, that they can come up and stand before us and from their memory tell us what God did for Abraham. And if he did it for Abraham, he can do it for us. Look how God called Moses. And if he did it for Moses, he can do it for us. Oh my God. Somebody thank God for them. You're not thanking God. I say you're not thanking God. You're not thanking God for them. No, you're not really grateful. You're not really. You know why? Because when they do the wrong things, you highlight that. But they're doing a great thing. Highlight that. Highlight the faithfulness of God. Amen. Ah, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 43. And today, we're going to talk about loving His presence. Loving His presence. Loving the presence of the Lord. And we've been talking about loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. Amen. And last week we spoke a lot about loving God with our mind and with our soul, having the right cry. Amen. And we've been talking about David, and we're going to look at the life of David and what the presence of God meant to him. What the presence of God meant to him. Amen. And we're going to draw some truths from his life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And, you know, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to last week's message and also Wednesday's teaching. It will really help you. Amen? Praise God. It says, then, somebody say then. I will go to the altar of God. To God. To God. For those of you who don't have your Bibles yet, please update your software and get yourself a Bible. We've been having a very tough time with many of you. You refuse to bring your Bible to church. Don't do that. Get yourself a Bible. Look around. There's Bibles all around you. Get yourself a Bible. What it does, it gives you a privilege to mark the scripture. It gives you a privilege to put a note next to it so that when you read your Bible, your eyes will fall on Word. Amen? To God, my exceeding joy. And on the harp, somebody say on the harp. On the harp. Oh my God, on the harp, I will what? I will praise you. Amen. Father, we thank you. Oh my God, my God. Oh my who? Oh God, my God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Speak to us today as we look into your word. Holy Ghost, just minister by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Just set me up a little and leave me there. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't have a notebook, get yourself a notebook also so you could take your notes and you can go back and listen. Because in the sermon, different things will stand out to every one of us. Amen? We all comprehend different. We all understand at a different level. So it gives you a privilege of making your notes. Amen? Praise God. David said, I will go to the altar of God. And as I look at this here, I see a man with intention. A man that has intention. He said, I will go to the altar. He didn't say, if it is convenient, if it were possible. The altar represents the house of God. It speaks of where God resides. Amen? He speaks of where his presence is. When we come to the house of God, what do we see? What is our perspective when we consider the house of God? Do we say, I'm going to church? Yeah, we do say that. Or do we understand the value of what it is we're doing? Do we understand what is available? Do we understand what is what? Available. David said, I'm not just going to go to church, but I will go to the altar. Altar speaks of a place of transaction. And in the kingdom of God, guys, you got to work. In the kingdom of God, there is no blessing without the presence of God. In the kingdom of God, without the presence of God, there's no value. You know there are many dead churches?
Yes. 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 Amen.
So don't think of church as only the gathering. Think of church as a place of presence. Amen. When you come to those doors, you should understand, I am coming to the altar of God. I'm coming to a place of transaction. When I release my worship, his presence consumes my worship. And he has the ability to change my situation. He has the ability to heal my life. You know, some lives need healing. Forget your body. Your body might be healthy, but your life needs attention. So many broken lives walk around. So many healed lives walk around who were once broken, but they came and they presented themselves to God. He said, I will go to the altar. I will be intentional to get to the altar myself. I'm not going to allow somebody else to go for me. I wouldn't send my kids. I will not send my wife. I will not send my husband. I will not send my brother. I will not send my aunt. I will not send my... No, I want to go there myself. We got to have the understanding that I must appear before my maker. And it is a privilege to appear before... Because, you know, not everybody can appear. Not everybody can appear. We know before David became king, there was another king in Israel. And his name was Saul. Saul was no stranger to the presence of God. It's not like he lacked an encounter. It's not as he never experienced God. But the problem was he did not have an intention within himself that I will appear at the altar of God. He did not have a priority where he prioritized getting to the altar. The only time he worshiped was when he was in trouble. I'll say it again. The only time Saul worshiped was when he was in trouble. The altar is not only a place for trouble. The altar is a place for incense.
Hallelujah.
I'll say it again. The altar is not only a place when you're in crisis. Too many of us, we wait until our lives are wrecked and then we run to the presence. But I want to give you a formula. Run into the presence of God. Run to the altar of God. That is where you are made. That is where I say you are made. In the book of Job, he says, the Spirit of God has made me. I am not made by attending church. I am made by the Spirit of God. The mobsters have something they call. He's a made man. Anybody watch mob movies and they said this one is a made man? Oh, you guys are holy. The Lord bless you guys. Don't follow Pastor Sam. You'll probably become a gangster. But yeah. But in the kingdom, we are made by the... Find the scripture in the book of Job. We are made... Look here. The Spirit of God has made me. The Spirit, what has made you? Some of you hold on that I've been made by my experiences. I've been made by my environment. I've been made by my suffering. But here we see the Spirit. Job said, the Spirit of God has made me. That's why he could have went to the altar and burned incense for his children. That if perhaps they sin, because he understood the altar was a place of transaction. It was a place where provision is made and forgiveness is received. Where you put your sacrifice and your sacrifice becomes the agent through which you are forgiven. That was the old covenant, but today we stand in a better covenant where the blood of Jesus was shed once and for all, that all might be saved and none would be condemned if they come through the blood of Jesus. I tell you, today we should live at the altar. We have a privilege of living at the altar 24 hours a day. Don't get off of the altar. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. How do you go? Not by might nor by power. These are the days when God are looking for true worshipers. Those that will worship him, how? In spirit. God is what? Spirit. God is what? God is what? God is spirit. How are we made? By the Spirit. How do we get born? Not by the will of man, but by the will of God. What will is that? The will of Spirit. And the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And in him was life. And the life became the light. So many of us are walking around wondering because the light has not hit you yet. We need to say, Lord, send forth your light. Send forth your light. Let light hit my life. Let light hit me, that I may walk in your paths. If we back up one verse, he said, oh, send out your light. Look here. No, go back. No. Same 43, 40. Psalms 43. Verse 3 said, oh, send out your light. Oh, send out your what? Your light, that I may be guided. Send out your light. Send out your truth. Let truth hit my life. Let light hit my life, that I may run to the altar of God, that I may live in the presence of God, that I may find myself around the things of God, that I may be all consumed. And let your light lead me. What is leading you today? What it is that is leading us? Are we led by our feelings? Are we led by what is popular? Are we led by the news? Are we swayed by what is going on all around us? No, it says send out your light. Holy Ghost, I pray today you send out your light. I pray today that you will send out and the people will catch the signal of God. Masakatele rabakosata ribake sandabosandabaka. Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, I want your light. Let your light lead me. So he said, I will go. I will go. That means action is required. Action is what? Required. If you're going to get saved, you got to do some action. It says if you believe in your heart, that's action. Believing takes action. Amen? If you're going to get saved, it's going to take you saying something. You got to move your lips, move your tongue. If you confess with your what? Mouth. Isn't that action? Come on. Is that action? It will take action on your part. So David said, I will go to the altar of God. I'm going to get up and I'm going to move. Sundays, can I tell you, it's hard for people to move to church because they have not put an intention in their heart. They have not intended. It doesn't matter who calls me. It doesn't matter what pops up. World Cup is playing today, but I'm going to church first. Amen. Woke up is 3 p.m., but I'm going to church and then I'm going to watch men kick ball later. Are you with me? There has to be priority. We cannot prioritize everything else, and then when you call on God and he don't answer, you say, where are you? And then he goes, where were you? I was waiting for you at the altar. I was at the altar waiting, but there was no priority on your part to come and meet me. Let that go deep. Let it go deep. I said, let it go deep. I said, let it go deep. You can quote all you want to quote what kind of scripture, but if you don't do your part, you will not find God. He said, you go looking for me, you will not find me. His mercies are dear, but his justice is dear also. He's not a man that he should lie. No, 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 nor is he a puppet that you can play. Somebody say priority. We have to treat God with importance. The presence of God must be important to us. It must become a delight and a matter of great importance. Anyone ever had a court hearing? Oh, you get up early. Oh, you made sure you're there on time. Why? Because it was important. And if you don't show up and the judge rules against you, you were never there to say anything. And by default now, you are in trouble. Maybe I go to a different courthouse than all of you. But I like when I preach good. There is no amen in the church. I said there is no amen in the church. I said there is no amen, Carissa. We're looking for the amen. We can't find it. Because it's true. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Are you with me? Smile, Jesus loves you. Psalm 63:2, he says, so I have looked. He didn't only go. The man is searching now. He said, so I have looked for your sanctuary. So I have looked for your sanctuary. You ever moved to a new community? Oh my God, the first thing you should look for is a church. You send your kids off to college, the first thing you should go and do, spire that area and say, you will be attending this church. But can I say, oh, how we are deceived, church. How we are deceived. The Bible said that the children of this world are shrewder. You know what families do? When they, before they move into a community, what they do? They check out the school system.
Yes. Amen.
They make sure they're going into a good district. Yes. But the church, people move into communities and leave their church but never say, is there a good church that I can attend over here? Is there a house of worship that I can find me and I can take my children to every Sunday? Somebody say, I've looked. It is time that we make the presence of God priority in our life. In certain religious circles, the mosque is the pinnacle of the community. Well, in Muslim circles. In the Jewish circles, the synagogue is priority. It must be in what? Walking distance. So that they can walk to the house of prayer. I want to tell somebody, today we have the blessing of having cars. Oh, I got to drive 15 minutes to church. That is so far. I got to find another church. And in the quest of you finding, you become unchurched. The devil has ways of sowing crafty seed. I'm speaking to a people today that is becoming so wise, that is becoming so discerning, that is judging matters well. Oh my God, that when we look at your life, we're going to see that you prioritize God, and then God releases his blessing. Because there's no man that prioritizes God and God does not bless him. We see in Saul how he took God lightly. He only worshiped when he was in trouble. And oh, how did he get in trouble? Why? Because he was not in the presence of God. Where are we made? By the Spirit of God. When you worship, you give the Spirit of God opportunity to minister to you, to shape you, to mold you, to fashion you, to break you. To break. God is in the breaking business. The Bible said the word of God is a hammer. So you got to put your life under the word and say, hammer away. Hit her. God, break me. Because if you're not broken, you cannot become. I'll say it again. If you're not broken, you cannot become. All of us want to be and want to be, but we don't want to be broken. If you can never demolish an old building, you can never put up a new one. How I look for your sanctuary to see, to what? To what? He said, I'm not just going to the sanctuary of God to blow off steam and waste time and hit the wind. I'm going there to see your power. When I go into your presence, I see your power. When David was at Ziklag and the raiders came, the Amalekites came and they raided Ziklag and they took the wives and they took the children. When David came back, all the men started crying. Everybody's crying and they wanted to kill David. But David said, hold on, hold your shot. I'm going into the presence of God. I'm going to pray. Hold a shot and let me pray. Let me hear what God says. Let me hear some direction. Let me get some instruction. I'm going to visit his presence. I'm going to an altar. And he said, Lord, should I pursue? No, you should think that they, by default, automatically they should have pursued. But this was a man that understood the potential, the capacity, the velocity and veracity of the God he served. He did not take it for granted. He said, no, let me check in with the one that is all powerful. Let me check in with the one that is all able. Let me check into the only wise God, to whom be glory and honor and power forever. And God said to him, pursue, you shall recover all. My God, the Bible said the men cried until they got so weak. But after they got the word, they found strength to go. I want to tell you, when you go into the presence of God, you're going to see his power and you're going to see his glory. You're going to see his delivering power. You're going to see the impossible happen. Somebody say, get into his presence. Somebody shout presence. Somebody shout presence. Somebody shout presence. Somebody shout presence. I look for your sanctuary. I look for the place where you dwell. On the other hand, there are some families, they, when they move into a community, the first thing they look for is a church. I'm looking for a church. Many people visit here and they say, I've been looking for a church. I've been looking for a church. I've been looking for a church. I've been looking. I've been searching out a place where I can have transaction with heaven. Not so that they can be pampered, but so that they can see power. Somebody say power. They can encounter power. They can encounter life change. They can encounter transformation. The power of God to shape your life. He said, though you are dead, yet shall you live. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. You're coming heavy, he's going to give you rest. He said, the Bible said, wherever Jesus went, he went doing good. When you come in and you feel messed up, he's going to do you what? Good. And when you leave church, how you feel? I feel good. Somebody say power.
Power
and glory,
glory
are in his sanctuary. I said power,
power
and glory are in his sanctuary. Glory be to God. When I come to church, I'm not going to be a casual worshiper. I'm not going to be a made-up worshiper. Ooh, I cannot make my makeup run because after church, I must take pictures and post it up. When God has an encounter for you, and you're there busy looking pretty, busy looking stush. Oh, I can't lay on this ground with my suit. No, I will lay on the ground because I'm not on the ground. I'm on his altar. I've been looking for this moment. I've been looking for the time when I come into the with the saints and I will worship him. Somebody say presence. In his sanctuary. I'm coming for an encounter. I'm coming for an encounter. When we come into church, we must come for an encounter. Don't come to see who come. We're happy to see you. Don't worry who don't shake your hand. That's their problem. I came for an encounter. Pastor Dolly didn't smile. Maybe she got face issues. Maybe she's minding her makeup. She don't want it to break up. No, I want to tell you, come for God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, come for God. Come for power. Come for glory. Come for victory. Come for transformation. Come for miracles. Come for a touch. Come for the anointing. Come for fire. Kose katola lobosa. Paul says in Philippians, he said, and this so I do that I may what? That I may know him. Paul said, when I come to Jesus, I'm coming for an exchange. I want to know him. I want there to be a transaction where I come, I drop myself, and I take him.
Amen.
Hello? That I may what? I may know him. I may what? I may know him. Look what the Amplified says. That I may know him experientially. I want to experience him. I don't want to just hear about him. I want to experience him. I say I want to experience him. When I leave the place of prayer, I experience him. When I leave worship, I've experienced him. Becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him. Ooh. You see, David loved the presence of God. He said, I want to be with God because I want to experience him. You know, when you get a girlfriend, you want to be with her all the time so you can have an experience. You go on dates because you can experience. You can get to know. And maybe you get to know that this is not the one for you. Bye-bye. But when you find the one, you say, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you to the end. Isn't that true? That's what the vows pretty much mean. No matter what, I'm sticking by your side. I'm here with you, baby, and I'm never going to let you go. That's what he said, that I may know him. Who wants to know the Lord this morning? There's somebody here that say, I want to know the Lord. I want to encounter. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to know the niceness of God. You know, some people said, man, church was nice today. You know why? Because Jesus was there. The Holy Ghost was there. The transforming power of God was there. Some people go to church angry, and when they leave, they're more angry. Some people leave, go to church bitter, they leave more bitter. You know why? maybe the Spirit of God wasn't there. Okay, you know, there are churches, that what we call churches, they look like churches, they're shaped like churches, they have pinnacle, but when you go, you hear nothing about Jesus. All you hear about is culture today. All you hear about is what is happening in the world. But you don't hear about the one that could change the world. You don't hear about the one that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I am glad that we are in this bubble where we know church to be church, and church will always be church. But there are some churches where there's nothing about Jesus. You know, there's a church that's called a Unitarian church where everybody's going to heaven no matter who you believe in. Yeah. Look it up. Unitarian church. Everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. You can call on Krishna and go to, but there's a church. It's a church. That's what I'm saying. Not every church got the Spirit of God. Not every church has the Holy Ghost. That I may know him. That I may perceive him. That I may understand him. That I may have an exchange with him. That I may get him, and that he may shape my life. And he will change my life. That's why I love his presence. Somebody shout presence. Psalm 16:11, famous verse. And he says, you will show me the path of life. You will what? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of, in your what? In your presence. David said, when I go into your presence, that's where I find joy. When I enter into your presence, that's where joy is. When I have fellowship with you, that's where real joy is. David probably said, oh, I drink this wine with everybody and I feel happy. But my God, that wine can't really matter. It can't really satisfy me. But when I get into your what? Presence. There is what? Fullness. There is complete joy. Complete. That's why when people get saved, they say, man, I feel satisfied. Because what did they find? Fullness of joy. The Bible said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? In your presence. He didn't say in my palace. He didn't say in the nice house I live. He didn't say the nice car or the nice chariot that he rode in. He said, no, in your presence. I want to tell you, prioritize God's presence. When you get up in the morning, get into the presence of God. And we live in a time where the presence of God is available everywhere. We don't understand the confines that David was living under. They could not encounter the presence of God like we do today. It took a special anointing and revelation that we see that was very unique to the prophets, to the priests, to those who were anointed by God, like Samuel. Samuel heard the voice of God from a young age. Because where was he living? In the temple. So he heard the voice. We never got a record that his siblings heard the voice. But he heard the voice, because what was the difference? He was where the glory was. The ark of God was in that place. Because the ark of God was there and he was near, he had access to glory. Today, we all have great access. We all have privilege. And maybe sometimes that makes it common. Like many things we consider common in America, it's not common elsewhere. Having 20 pairs of shoes, it's not a common thing. When I was growing up, I had one shoes and one Christmas it loose. I had to wear my Fila sneakers to church. That looked so stupid, but now sneakers and suit works. But they always remember that I wore sneakers a Christmas morning to church because that's all I had. So take that now and go back over 2,000 years ago. Where you had to have been in a particular place to feel his presence. Where you had to have been in a physical location to feel the glory of God. Read the book of Exodus. The Bible says whenever Moses would go and meet with God, the cloud would come down and settle over the tent where he was. Today we still experience clouds of glory, and that's beautiful. And the privilege today, we can experience a cloud of glory here, and we can experience it down the block, and we can experience it down in Florida, all at the same time. But it wasn't always like this. So that's why David says, in your what? Presence. In your presence. Now can I share the other part of this? All of us can be in the same room and not enter his presence. Yes. Amen. We all can be where the glory is, but never encounter the presence. Let that not be us. I said, let that not be us. In your presence is what? Fullness. Complete joy. One thing David wanted more than any other thing was the presence of God. When he sinned with Bathsheba, he saw Bathsheba taking a nice shower. And this week we were talking about this at home, and we were wondering if her name was Sheba, and after she took the bath, she became known as Bathsheba. What kind of name is that? He saw her taking a bath. And he liked what he saw. And he liked it a little too much. And he sent his servants and he says, who is that fine lady taking a bath? Number one, he wasn't where he should have been. He should have been at war. Can I tell you, can I give you a revelation on that one? There's a man in our church in Guyana. His name was Tony. And on a Sunday, Tony left the house of God and went to the beach with the Hindus. That Sunday afternoon, we got news that Tony is missing. He went swimming with them while they went to do their sacrifice, their yearly thing for with the temple at the sea. The sad part is it was the Christian that died. Wow. Everybody else came back to shore. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He left his wife with, I think, like four or five kids. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, what? Shall abide under the... Where was God? God says, you want to go for a ride? Enjoy your ride. God is a just God, you know. Don't play with him. He's a God of mercy, but he's also just a God of justice. If you're going to play with fire, it's likely you can get burned. Amen? Amen? Somebody say, be where you need to be. Be where you need to be. Can I tell you, you can be like your pastor? You can be in church 52 Sundays a year? Because you have a place. You have a place. You have a place. You have a... The presence of God. What is in his presence? Power and glory. Don't forget the word. That's why I tell you, write it down. But David wasn't where he was supposed to be. When he was supposed to be in the battle, he was home idling. And he became idle and he went for a walk on the porch and the devil had a trap waiting for him. The woman was in the trap. But he came under the influence of the devil. Because the woman was bathing herself. That's what people do. Isn't that true? And she was bathing over at her house. She didn't come in his courtyard to bathe. Are you with me? So what he should have done is look and then look away and move on. Or when his eye caught it, I will not behold. I'm on my way. I'm going to battle. Guys, saddle the donkey or the horse. Get that chariot ready. No, but he looked on and he said, bring her. And not only that, he got Bathsheba. He slept with her. Made her pregnant. When he found out she was pregnant, her husband Uriah was one of his very committed, loyal men in the army. He called, he sent, I think it was Joab, and he said, Joab, send me Uriah. Yes, Joab. He says, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him. And he said, boy, Uriah, go home and sleep with your wife, man. You've been working hard. Go home and enjoy some time. Uriah slept outside the palace at night on the steps, and he says, my men are at war. I cannot go and have pleasure. So David says, okay, he's stubborn. He's very loyal. Let's kill him. He sent Uriah with a death sentence. He said, take this letter to Joab. He said, Joab, put Uriah in the heat of the battle. Because now he has to cover up his sin. Yes. I always say, sin leads to more sin. Amen. He went from committing adultery to now he's committing murder. He puts him in front of the battle, he dies. Then God now spoke to Nathan the prophet. God sends Nathan to David. And he says to David, there's a man that had one lamb. But then there was another man that had a lot. And he coveted the one lamb. And he said to David, what would you do with such a man? He said, that man should be put to death. How can you want? You have so much. And you want a little man. Nathan said to him, thou art the man. He said, what? You are the man. And then God reminded how faithful he was to him. And how he anointed him. And how he delivered him from his enemies. So now David is at a crossroad. Go over to Psalm 51. David says in Psalm 51. Let's read from verse 9. Hide your face from my sin. And blot out all my iniquities. What he's doing? He's begging for mercy now. He's begging for what? Mercy. And look what he says next. Create in me what? You know what he's asking for? He's not asking God to cover his sins and keep him with that old heart. He's saying, Lord, give me a new heart. Because this heart is flawed. He said, Lord, take this heart to create is to bring out of nothing. He said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but just like how you created Adam, create in me a clean heart. Out of what was insignificant, dust. God took dust and made dust a body. He said, create in me a clean heart. Because he said, this heart is messed up. And renew what? A steadfast. After you give me the new heart, let me stay on your course. Let me stay on my assignment. So many of us, we know our assignments, but we refuse to walk in it. We know the way, but we choose our own way. I want to tell you today, let today be a day where you say, God, give me the grace to be steadfast, to be diligent, to be consistent, to remain, to be rooted, to be grounded, to be settled in you. And verse 11 says, because what? You will show me. When I stay steadfast, I'm going to see. When I stay steadfast, I will what? He said, do not cast me away from your presence. And look what he says. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not. He didn't say, don't take my throne. Nathan told him that the child is going to die. He wasn't worried about the child. He was worried about the presence of God. So many times we prioritize everything else but the presence of God. We prioritize our jobs. We prioritize our children. We prioritize our marriages. We prioritize our career. We prioritize our schooling. I'm not saying don't do that, but don't you dare put it before God. Because can I tell you, when all of it fails, you will come back around with your tail between your leg, and you'll say, God, I need you. Tell somebody, be wise. Catch him up front. Say, catch God up front. Say, catch him up front. Take him with you. Moses said, God, if your presence don't go with us, we are not going. Even though there is a promised land flowing with milk and honey, where the grapes are bigger, the pomegranate is bigger, I'm not going without you. Somebody shout presence. Shout presence. Say, I need presence. Say, I need presence. I need your presence. And because of a man that says, do not cast me away from your presence. Cast me not from your presence. Don't sing those songs as religious songs. And cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Sing, we're just singing. But it has no merit. It has no weight in your spirit. Oh, when I was a young man, I made a decision. I said, Lord, if I'm ever going to backslide, kill me. Oh, yeah. I was young. I was like maybe 10 or 12. And I said, God, if I'm ever going to backslide, you have the right. Kill me. Get me out of here. Because I don't want to be without you. I don't want to live in the world. I don't want the world. I want presence. Tell somebody, I want presence. Come on, say, I want his presence. Because in his presence is what? Fullness, not emptiness. What the world sells us is empty. What is in his presence? What is in his presence? Fullness. When you hang around God, you're going to be full. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. The man says, cast me not away from your presence. What I need is your presence. And then he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. This is the first time that we see the phrase in the Bible, Holy Spirit. The man was prophesying. And he said, there's going to be a day where we're all going to be filled with this Spirit. But he said, for now, don't take it from me. Even though I alone might have it, I can't live without your Spirit. Without your Spirit, I am
mountain. Without your glory, I am useless. I am nothing. He said, I sit on a throne, but without your Holy Spirit in me, I am nothing. Because he said, you have been my help for all generations. Without you, I am. He said, do not take the Holy Spirit away from me. Somebody say, I need your presence. Somebody say, I need your presence. That's why David went down and he said, I got to get the ark back to Jerusalem. He wasn't only concerned about himself. He wanted to create an atmosphere now where people can come in and share the presence of God, where people can come in and behold the beauty of God, where they can come into the temple and inquire of God, where they can come in and they can now feel power and feel glory. He said, I've got to get the ark back. So one time they went and they tried to move the ark. Uzzah put his hand and God struck him because they didn't do it the right way. And David got frustrated. He said, how will I ever bring the ark of God back? Why? The man wanted presence. The man wanted, and not only him, he knew if the people of Israel got into the presence, they would be changed. Why do you think we press in prayer so much here? Because we know that when you come into the atmosphere, you can be changed. Why do you think we worship the way we do here? It's we know that when you come into the presence of God, you will be changed. Why do you think we fast so much? It's because we want glory and power. It comes from the presence of God. So David said, I've got to get the ark. Because that's where presence is. That's where glory is. That's, you know how we know that? The Bible says when the ark went to the house of Obed-Edom, things changed. Things changed. His family became blessed. He prospered. I want to tell you, when the presence of God comes in your life, you will begin to prosper. So David went down and he found the solution to the problem. And he put the priest in front and he says, every couple steps we take, we're going to sacrifice to God. Meaning we're going to burn incense, we're going to build an altar, and we're going to worship him. And the Bible says as they went, every certain distance, they worship God. Because wherever God is, one thing appeases him, and it is worship. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, he said, I cannot give the pearls to the dogs. But the Bible says she dropped down and she worshiped. And because she worshiped him, she got his attention and he moved on her behalf. I want to tell you, when you come into the presence of God, come with your worship. Come with your worship. Come with your adoration. Come with your praise. So we all know the story of David dancing ridiculously and losing himself. You know why he was getting on like that? Was because the ark was coming to the city. The presence of God was returning. He said, I will become undignified because before I came to him, I was undignified. And my God, he anointed me and he put dignity on me. I was a nobody. I was watching sheep in the background of the desert, of the pastures. I was a nobody, but he came and he anointed me and he took from the least and he made me greatest. I was the last of my brothers. They looked down. They didn't even call me for the anointing service, but he anointed me and he made me king. So I'm going to dance and I'm going to praise, and it don't matter who don't like it, I'm going to exalt him. Why? Somebody shout presence. Shout presence. Shout presence. There is fullness in the presence. There is power. There is glory. There is fire. So David danced. And he carried on himself crazy. And then his wife looked. And she said, oh, Look how the king has embarrassed himself today. Look how he danced before the maidens of the kingdom. She saw maidens, but he saw presence. Ah, she saw people, but he saw Jehovah Nissi, the God that reigns in victory. He saw Jehovah Shalom, the God, his peace. He saw Jehovah Belperazim, the God of the breakthrough that will cause him to break through all his enemies. And the same God that delivered him out of her father's hand is the same God he was dancing before. When people see crazy, you see presence. When people see you acting funny, you see presence. People see your dance, but you see God Almighty. The King of Glory, get on your feet and praise him.